This morning, Albert read out the different types of fruits of the Spirit that it talks about in Galatians. And I'll just read the list of them before we get to these fruits on the table. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness comes next, then faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yes. I was trying to work out a mnemonic that I could remember them all nine of them, but that's great. So as we bear those in mind, first of all, I've got a short poem just to get us in the mood. So if we sort of focus on the fruits, and then we're going to sort of break into small groups just to think about a little bit more about fruits. But here we've got the fruits. Fruit, we love it. Part of our five a day. Comes in all sorts of colours and shapes and sizes and textures, rough and smooth, prickly and soft, large and small. They're harvested and picked, gathered and collected, full of energy, vitamins and life. We squeeze them, peel them, chop them, mix them, cook them, sauce them, even set them on fire. Hooray, flambé. Pips and stones and seeds all snuggled within and sometimes out with. Wonderful patterns and shapes and designs as fruits are cut and segments pulled. Full of energy, vitamins and life. Fruit, we love it. Part of our five a day, from commonplace to those of more exotic race. The humble apple, pear and bramble, found in many a mother's crumble. But mango, papaya, passion fruit, kiwi, grown in warmth and exotic sun, mixed in smoothies, shakes and juices. Fruits, they have a million uses, full of energy, vitamins and life. What I'd like to do is to get in groups of three, and come and if you would like to sort of move around and get some seats and sort of arrange yourselves around the tables, have a look at the fruit, stand up, you can take some if you want, cut some that are uncut, you can taste them, feel the texture of them, have a look at them. Think about the list of the fruits that are in Galatians 5, and in your group, maybe choose two or three fruits, and both from the Galatians 5 list and from the ones, they don't have to be limited to the ones you see here, this is just to stimulate your imagination. But think about a fruit, one of the fruits of the Spirit, and try and match it with a fruit that you can think of. So, for instance, gentleness. It's like a cool strawberry milkshake on a summer's day. Or maybe faithfulness, like the apples that appear year after year in our garden. Or just whatever. That's just to get. It might be that you want to draw fruit, or you want to make up a little poem, or just do something. But just get into two or threes and just think on fruits. And at least if you can try and get one or two sentences that link a fruit with a fruit of the Spirit. And maybe even thinking, you could maybe even link it to what you were thinking about your area of tension. Is there a particular fruit of the Spirit which would help, which would speak into that area of tension or conflict that you thought about in your own private meditation earlier? So if you'd like to do that, and I will go and get some pencil and paper to help you do that. A little bit about what your reflections have been. There's no chips.
Okay, I started off with gentleness, and it was a peach that struck me straight away, because it bruises easily, and so often we can bruise people, so we have to handle people very gently, And, you know, if you've been bruised, then it can become very tender. And when I see a peach that's been bruised, then it just reminds me of that. So that's the first one.
Yep. Do you have any more in your group that you want to share?
Yeah, that one about getting all over your face.
Getting all over your face. I had a different perspective on a peach because I always end up with running over my face and doing my hands. And it's a bit like sometimes when you're touched by kindness, the act lasts a lot longer than the statement of kindness. You know, somebody shows a kindness to you, you remember it for a long time. I remember a peach for a long time because it's with me for hours.
Anything from this group?
You're different. Well, I must admit, although we're talking about fruit, I did share that this is something new for me because I hadn't thought of it in this way at all. So I was listening to the others, and we did come across one or two of the fruits. There was the banana. Which was the banana, did you say?
The banana.
We suggested
peace.
Would be, peace. Yes, peace, mm-hmm. coming from that area.
Why?
Soft and gentle, and again, it's easy bruised, isn't it? But it's peaceful to eat a banana because it doesn't make a lot of noise and it peels nice and easily. And you know, there's no juice, there's no mess.
Well, we were the very intellectual, and so we wanted to start with a point of correction. It's the fruit of the Spirit, it's not the fruits of the Spirit. So we all have the fruits of the Spirit. So in order to be able to make a comparison, you need to get one of these big machines that mixes them all up and put them into this giant smoothie with every fruit you can think of for it to be able to compare with the fruit of the Spirit. So that's how we get out.
That's absolutely right. Yes, I was wondering, wondering whether people would pick up on the fruit salad aspect and the segment thing as well from oranges. That it is all, it's sort of coming from the one place. Yeah. So, right. Anything else from that one? No. Well done.
We thought that would be real smoothie Christians if we could put it all together.
Anything from around here?
Well, thank you. Can read your writing there.
I think it's just
the general,
literacy, actually.
The general direction of our discussion was that real fruits are beneficial for you, and as are the fruit of the Spirit, and that the just as real fruit has to develop, so do we in the fruit of the Spirit, and that we will grow in strength as we learn to recognize the need and the experience of the fruit in our lives and how that changes us.
Mm. Yep. Just, were you all in the same group? Right, just before we get to the last group, we've got the webcast group that's been text messaging away, and they've got something to contribute.
These are the assembled thoughts of those who were online. And we picked cherries and before somebody pinched them or moved them. We were watching that plate just there and it kept getting eaten as we were going along, we noticed. They came in pairs, which we thought was a very biblical model for things coming along. And they have a stone in the middle. And we like the idea of the stone in the middle, Christ in the middle, the solid rock. And that we can't see the stone at first, but yet we know that it's there, right in the centre of all the sweetness. And then we looked at the stalk of the cherry, which connected it to the tree or to the vine. And now we often throw the stalk away. And yet it was the very umbilical cord that made the fruit grow. So there was something within within the cherry there as well. There were lots of people all chipping in. It's not just, I'm just reading it out. I think Helmut would if he could. he's just a bit far away. So, that's right. I was on Wikipedia doing all this, you know, it's just me, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. No, we can't be jealous just because other people.
Well, we were totally the opposite way. We were thinking about us being in the middle with the covering of God around. That's what we were thinking.
Yeah.
We had the stone, yes. The hard bits in the middle.
Yeah, see, that's right. Yeah, seeds of opportunity, and we can, yeah, so love, joy, peace. Yes, isn't it?
Faithfulness, because God is all around.
Right. Yes. Yeah. That's the thing. It can go in all sorts of different directions, and it's what you make of it. Just stand. Do any of you know the situation of David from Psalm, why he's written this Psalm 51 that we read earlier? Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Has he been a bad boy? He coveted another man's wife, that's right. And He slept with Bathsheba and then sent the husband off. And so this is, and then do you know what caused him then to write this psalm? What prompted him? Who spoke to him? Nathan. Nathan the prophet came along and gave him, told him this little story, and that it was God speaking to him, saying, look, there's something wrong here. And so he wrote this Psalm 51, and the last bit, which I want to read to you, is just his response then, after acknowledging this tension, this conflict, this wrongness before God. He says in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence. Do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways and sinners will be converted to you. And so David is praying for God's Holy Spirit to come so that those fruits, he mentions joy there, but so his life would once again be fruitful, and he would show that fruit of the Spirit within his life. And it's interesting because quite often when we get into these really difficult places, there's a word for it, which for some reason every book that I've picked up, or when I turned on the radio this morning, it's obviously, this must be the word for the day, it's liminal. And I've heard it before, but it comes from the Latin, which means threshold. And it's often the place that God works in our lives. It's often the place where when we are pushed to the threshold, to the edge of things, when we're moved out of our comfort zones, when that certainty is gone, when we don't have the structures and the comfort and security of the everyday, because something's happened, because of that inner tension, that conflict, some way that we've followed our own spirit rather than God's spirit, then that is often the place where God works. And that's what's happening here in this psalm. God's met David in this, if you like, this liminal place, this threshold place. I just want to read just one or two lines from, it comes from another article called 40 Years in a Narrow Space. And it talks about liminality being where transformation happens. And it's when we are betwixt and between, and therefore by definition not in control. Nothing new happens as long as we are inside our self-constructed comfort zone. Much of our day-to-day effort at life is towards maintaining our personal little world. And then Richard Rohr, he quotes another writer. Richard Rohr comments that nothing good or creative emerges from business as usual. This is why much of the work of God is to get people into this liminal space and to keep them there long enough so they can learn something essential. It is the ultimate teachable space. Maybe the only one. It goes on to say how liminal space is counterintuitive because it goes against that sense of wanting to keep everything routine. But it's where God teaches us. It's where the fruit of the Spirit is really developed as we allow the Spirit to work in our lives and to speak into those areas that need to be more fruitful. And so the three things we've been talking about, remembering the love of God that we started talking about, that's where our security is. That's why we can have the confidence to move ahead and change. And then the allowing ourselves to hear that voice, where is God wanting to change us? And then allowing the Spirit to come in and to bring forth those fruits in our lives. And especially according to which particular fruit might come at a particular time, according to what the particular tension is in our lives, but allowing God to speak through that. We're going to end with the song, These Are the Days of Elijah.